Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be delving into a number of UK equities and key themes out there in markets. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast this morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Yes, very well, very well. Looking forward to the Christmas break. We've had a particularly busy period going up to Christmas. So yes, like many market participants out there, I'm sure we're all looking forward to a few days break.
Yeah, I certainly am. I can tell you that.
yes. So, you know, talking about Christmas, actually, Alan, I know we've mentioned it previously, and you know, people always hear this each year as we get towards the end of the year, the festive and seasonal play that we can sometimes see in markets of the Santa's rally. We had some very interesting research that came through from AJ Bell last week, and looking at the statistics, because you know, when people talk about a Santa's rally, you might be hearing somebody from an American outlet talking about it, and that obviously relates to the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones, and they'll be talking about certain statistics. You don't really hear too much around the FTSE 100, but AJ Bell sends over some numbers that they ran on the Santa's rally, and you know, the stats are pretty compelling. You know, December tends to be the best performing month of the year on average for the FTSE 100 since its inception back in 1984, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think the average gain in December, or average performance, is 2%. So that's much higher than any other month out there. But it doesn't happen every year, of course. You know, sometimes, and in many, many Decembers, we actually do see you know, losses in the FTSE 100. It very much depends on the backdrop. So, you know, Alan, from what you can see out there, of course, we've seen lots of developments coming from China, and they're looking at rolling back their zero COVID policy. But of course, there's this threat of recession and worries about what the Fed's going to do next week. Of course, we've got a busy week for central banks. So, you know, from your assessment, Alan, looking at what's happening out there, you know, what are the chances that we see, you know, one of the more positive Decembers this year?
I think we're in for a positive December, John, overall. I think certainly there is a sense that the worst of inflation numbers is being, it is peaking. We've also, of course, seen signs that the China lockdown on COVID is lifting slightly, so that, you know, that's a positive. And I think as well, we're heading into the first Christmas period, festive period, really, without a lockdown, and that for the UK is a very important issue. I mean, one of the factors, of course, is that you know, inflation concerns are still rumbling on, but there, in some places across the world, you know, fuel and food prices are starting to fall. So there's tangible evidence that these concerns are peaking, and of course the Ukraine conflict now is a known unknown in a sense. You know, we know it's going to sadly rumble on for some time. The Russian economy is getting weaker. Of course, we've seen the oil caps imposed as well by the rest of the world, you know, and Russia is just being backed into a corner. And of course, you know, that's a dangerous scenario out there by itself. But I think certainly on the domestic front, with retailers obviously hoping for a decent Christmas, we've yet to see what the Black Friday numbers look like, although in a sense Black Friday came and went this year, I think with very little attention paid to it. But you know, certainly for the for some of the stocks in the leisure sector, you know, those running bars and hotels and all the rest of it, we're starting to see some good performances indicate that things are returning to normal. So given that backdrop and given that at the moment there's no sense that any lockdowns will be imposed in the UK, I think we're going to see positive sentiment driving the FTSE higher over the Christmas period. Then, of course, we get to January and we've got that raft of trading statements from the retailers, and that's always a difficult time. But let's focus on Christmas from now, and I think we're going to see the FTSE, you know, possibly get back up as high as 7.6 before the end of the month.
Yes, indeed. I mean, just looking at the FTSE this morning, it is down slightly. It was up, you know, a good few points earlier. There was a positive outcome from a litigation case for GSK. They were up about 10%. That was really supporting the index. But, yep, you know, looking at it, we're starting to see volatility in the FTSE 100 really fall. You know, it's grinding higher. We're seeing pullbacks that are being met with some support. So it's... You know, for me, looking at it, looking at a chart of the FTSE 100, it is forming that uptrend.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's good to see, as I said, is, you know, each time that it falls back at the moment, there's, you know, plenty of buyers coming in to pick it up. I mean, I think the 7,500 level is quite key. It's a psychological level.
Yeah.
And then on the upside, as you mentioned there, 7,600. And I think the market's conscious of this. You know, a break above 7,600 really opens up the way to all-time highs on the FTSE 100, given the composition that we're seeing of the miners and their exposure to China. So it could be an interesting December. And I know we're going to be commentating on that as on future podcasts as we move into the end of the year. But you were talking about the leisure sector there, Alan, and that plays quite nicely into the first company that we're going to discuss today, which is Mitchells and Butler, looking now up about 5%. They were up considerably more earlier on in the session, but it's a fairly robust set of figures and a company, as you mentioned there, Alan, which is bouncing back from the pandemic.
Indeed. And this is, you know, there are a raft of operators in the sector, and there are, you know, some of these operators are smaller, such as Revolution Bars. They own a series of bars and theme bars, and they're starting to, they're seeing their fortunes improve as things return to normal. But of course, Mitchell and Butler's has a huge portfolio of assets, and this is the company that owns and operates Harvester, Toby Carvery, All Bar One, that of course anyone in London will know well, Miller and Carter, Premium Country Pubs, Stonehouse, Vintage Gin, you know, the list is endless. Plus they also own a series of bars and restaurants in Germany as well, so they've got strong exposure to the sector. And yeah, shares are up this morning on, you know, what is a very good set of full year results. You know, pre-tax profits of 8 million versus last year's 42 million loss. Sales grew 1% compared to full year 19. So, you know, this is now growth over pre-COVID levels, which is very encouraging. But also the current year, the company's reported a really strong start with like-for-like sales growth of 6.5% versus full year versus last year. You know, that's the 10 weeks since the end of the financial year. But of course, you know, we've got this uncertainty, economic headwinds, cost inflation still a concern. Although, as I said just now, I think, you know, there are signs now that we're seeing food and fuel prices come down in parts of the world, and even here and there in the UK too. So, of course, we're all hoping for that we will see the Santa rally and of course, that everyone gets out and, you know, maximises spend out in the outlets. But it's interesting also to note that on the back of the results this morning, other sector majors are up as well. Marston's is up 3.5%. Weatherspoon shares also higher. Whitbread shares up nearly 1%. And Intercontinental Hotels too. So, of course, these numbers are very important for the sector as a whole. And certainly on the basis of what Mitchell and Butler's have announced so far, yeah, it's a good start. On the year, you know, we're seeing shares trading at 148p versus a year high of 268p. That was hit, of course, back at the start of 2022, and the lows came recently. The shares dipped briefly intraday below a pound. So anyone picking up at those levels has done pretty well. Not paying a dividend yet, but you know, I think with that cross section of pubs and the broad spread of risk offered by this stock, I think we're going to see further upside before the year's out.
So just, you know, this is something that, you know, anybody watching the news last night would have seen, that of course there's going to be a number of strikes, rail strikes, through December. Yeah. And, you know, of course that's going to cause havoc for travellers, and, you know, there's concerns that, you know, the leisure industry will suffer. But, you know, with Mitchell and Butler, you know, they're business sort of model means that they're sort of well covered for people that want to sort of stay in their local area as well as travel. I mean, do you think that will provide them some protection compared to maybe other?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the great thing is, you know, with you know, the portfolio of Harvester and Toby Carvery pubs, there are a lot of these strategically located outside your town or village, and of course you can drive out. You know, you can probably have a glass of wine or a couple of pints, you know, with your meal there. So I think, you know, you might see the likes of All Bar One takings fall, but the premium country pubs and the Toby Carveries will probably see an increase, because instead of spending the money in the city, the money will be spent out of the city. So I think it's, you know, it's a very well managed package of risk, if you like. And certainly the range of pubs the team have put together, I think give that exposure all across the UK. I mean, speaking personally, I'm talking to you from Seaford, literally a mile and a half away from my house at the foot of the hill on an area called the Exeat Valley, where the River Cookmere winds its way out to the sea. There's a pub that used to be called the Golden Galleon, now called the Cookmere Inn, owned by Mitchell and Butler's. And every time I've been in there, it's absolutely jam-packed. It's just it's the walker's favourite stop. It's where people, there's a big car park, you can come park up and, you know, just look at the river and then have a drink. So I think strategically, you know, Mitchell and Butler's have got a very good package. And, you know, I think regardless of rail strikes, provided we can, there's no restriction on actually going out to a pub, there are no lockdowns, I think Mitchell and Butler look to be in a very strong position, certainly for Christmas and into 2023 as well.
Indeed. So let's move on now, Alan. So we're going to look at a defence company here. It's quite interesting. If you look at the FTSE 100 so far this year, the best performer bar one has actually been BAE Systems. But of course, the geopolitical landscape and the tragedy in Ukraine has, you know, bolstered interest in defence stocks. So we're not going to look at BAE Systems, but there's another one in the sector, Chemring, Alan, which you've brought to our attention. So, you know, maybe not performed as well as BAE Systems has, but it certainly had a good few months. So what's happening there?
Well, I focused on this. I spoke with our Ken Batch, who is a former fund manager who we speak to every month, and he provides a series of ideas and reviews, and he's been looking at Chemring, and it's a stock that we're all aware of. I think, you know, it's been around in the index for a long time, but certainly the shares they've given a pretty resilient performance, you know, across the year. It pays a dividend of 1.7%, so a bit of a yield there too, and shares currently at just under £3, just under £3, year high £3.83, year low of £2.46. So certainly towards the lows of the year, which was probably what caught Ken Baxter's attention. But the group provided a trading update back in October, said trading was progressing as planned despite the challenging backdrop. But of course, Chemring are very well, they're a niche operator. They have two key arms to the business. One is sensors and information, and these are this hazard detection. So these are detectors used in both chemical warfare, defense, general defense, and of course cyber warfare. And they've got a very good name across the world. They work for over 50 foreign governments around the world. And it's a very solid and resilient business. The original business that Chemring was best known for were the flares and decoys. This is the sector called countermeasures and energetics. And that sector builds flares and decoys. So for jet fighter aircraft, we've seen this, of course, manifestly demonstrated by Russian aircraft across the Ukraine as they fly over and they launch a load of decoys, flares to attract the heat-seeking missiles. And this is what Chemring are known for. They have a manufacturing facility in the UK, also in the US and Australia. And, although the defence industry has shrunk across the years, Chemring occupies this sort of niche growth area. It's come up on the radar now and again as a potential bid target too. So, of course, given the backdrop, that we're facing at the moment, I'm sure Chemring's products are very much in demand. It's a well-run, conservatively run business, pays a small dividend, and I would say probably there is an opportunity going forward for further upside in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Chemring here, again, the share price, you're talking about the FTSE 100 being in an uptrend previously. Again, this is one that's been in a solid uptrend since the lows after the pandemic. We saw highs back in April around that 360 level. It's not a particularly high beta stock. It doesn't move very quickly. But with that dividend there, it's a defensive company which has many defensive attributes, in terms of the shares, reliable cash flows to some extent. So, yeah, maybe one for people to put on the watch list and have a deeper look at. So moving on now, Alan, to the last stock we're going to look at, Sovereign Metals. They presented with us earlier on in the year, but they've had an update in the last few days. What does that look like, Alan?
Yeah, they certainly have, John. So Sovereign Metals have an absolutely amazing resource in Malawi, in Central Africa. And Malawi is referred to as the warm heart of Africa. It's a very benign environment, very stable. Lots of poverty, of course, but in the centre of Malawi, a certain Dr. Julian Stevens was working for years and discovered rutile in abundance there. And of course, rutile is the primary provider of titanium dioxide, which has a raft of applications across optics, aerospace. It's used in dyes, in paints, for instance. So your brilliant white paint that you'll go and buy from B&Q, the brilliant white in that paint is titanium dioxide. It's generally quite hard to get hold of. There are two key projects in Africa, one, of course, Sierra Rutile in Sierra Leone and another in Kenya. Dr. Stevens worked on the project and a scoping study was undertaken, and the potential there is absolutely enormous. It's the biggest rutile project in the world, 1.8 billion tons of rutile thought to be there, not thought to be there, it is there underground, and drilling work undertaken early this year discovered that the rutile itself went much further and much deeper than had been initially thought. So that's an estimate of 1.8 billion tonnes is probably conservative and will be upgraded. And of course, the numbers are absolutely huge. I think it runs into billions of dollars, the potential of the mine life and the growth of the asset. And of course, what it's going to do for the country, it's going to create a lot of employment. The other factor, of course, is getting it to market. And it's close to an area called the Nacala Logistics Corridor, which means the rutile can be shipped out across the corridor. There are metal roads to take it all the way to the Nacala deep water port on the coast. From that point, of course, it can be shipped on to worldwide destinations. But also with the project, as it's been developing, Sovereign discovered, or the team discovered there, large amounts of graphite. And of course, there are other companies operating in Africa. Blengare Resources, for of course, has the Orion Cross graphite project, which is developing to late stage now into a definitive feasibility study stage. But there are a series of standalone graphite projects within this huge area that covers the Kasia Rutile project owned by Sovereign. There's the Nanzake, Malagunde, Dewey and Mabua graphite projects. And the company's announced today that it's going to spin those projects out into two distinct companies. That company or that holding company, NGX, is going to pursue an ASX listing and will be issued with a prospectus. Prospectus will be issued out following the completion of the demerger. So what it will mean is that the Dr. Stevens and the team can focus on developing the Rutile project, which is an enormous logistical challenge in itself. Mm-hmm. And of course, then from that point, the balance sheet of Sovereign will further be firmed up once NGX comes to market and those graphite assets are realized in their own right. And it's often the way when you have a company that owns a multitude of projects, the importance and the value of each project tend to get lost in the overall message. And by doing this is something, of course, that Power Metal Resources have done very successfully by spinning off, of course, First Class Metals had a tremendous IPO early this year. We now have Gold Metal Resources, which is coming to market very shortly, First Development Resources and others. And this is a very good way for the value of those projects to be realized in the market separately. And of course, what it does, it reinforces the balance sheet of the parent company. So it's a very shrewd move by Sovereign. Sovereign shares currently trading at, they're of course dual listed in both the ASX under the epicode SVM and in the UK under SVML, currently trading at 24p. So down from those highs, but the company's worth got a valuation of just under 100 million sterling, which really, considering the size of the project and the valuation of the companies running the other Rutile projects, is derisory. So I expect a significant re-rating once this delist and demerger goes through. And of course, as the Rutile project at Kasia develops further and moves up the scale.
So just this is a final point on Sovereign there. Whereabouts are they with the assessment and valuation of the titanium rutile assets? What's the sort of next event on the horizon for them?
Well, the next event there, so they've undergone pre-feasibility study there, and as it goes forward, it will then get to a DFS stage, and of course that's definitive feasibility study. But the challenge, of course, that is faced by a company with a project of this scale is, where do you start? You've got all of these possible places you could commence the drilling. So they have to select the initial drill sites, and then of course take it from there. But already they've signed rutile offtakes with several companies. Chemours, the French chemical giant, has signed a takeoff agreement. Hascor, they provide welding products all over the world. They've signed a memorandum of understanding too. So this is huge from the company. The PFS is underway. Once that's completed, then of course the company will appoint an independent an independent contractor to undertake the definitive feasibility study, which will be the practical steps that need to be taken in terms of building the mine, building the beneficiation plant to process the ore, getting it to market, all the rest of it. So obviously there's a capex involved in that, but compared to the value they're going to get out of the ground, it's a hugely exciting project.
Indeed, and certainly a story to follow. So just as a recap of the companies we discussed today, first up was Mitchells and Butlers with a ticker of MAB. It was then Chemring, which has a ticker of CHG. And we just finished off with Sovereign Metals, SVML. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, John.
So just as a note to listeners, if you're listening to this on Wednesday the 7th of December, we have the virtual investor conference this evening featuring Power Metal Resources and Tech Capital. So if you're listening to this on the 7th and you want to view and be involved in that event, do check out the event section on the UK Investor Magazine website where you'll be able to get yourself registered. Thank you very much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.